are done with Easter. It was last week. And we have been walking in the long journey on the Lent, celebrating different stages of the Christian faith. Bringing from the intense days like Ash Wednesday to Monday, Thursday to Good Friday. And finally, last week, we reached out the top by celebrating the Easter, declaring Jesus Christ's victory over death and his appearance to Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John. And many of us, and this included me, will assume it is over now. Easter is behind. It's last week. But maybe that's right if we are thinking about the resurrection or Easter as a day on the calendar. But the Easter we are talking about, or Jesus challenging us to think about today, is the Easter that brings spirit, the spirit of resurrection, to give us hope as a second chance. God, who invited us through Jesus, the humble and the gracious Master, to accompany us in our journey in this life and even after this life. And today our stories, and I know many of us heard this story before, two disciples decide to leave Jerusalem and went back to their home in Emmaus, and this place was 7 miles far away from the holy city. They hit the road hoping to escape all the memories and troubles. If there is a troubles in one place, let's leave it. And hopefully even we'll leave the memories behind it. So Jerusalem was the place that reminded them about the crucifixion, that reminded them about Jesus being trapped in a tomb. And also that's where their hopes and their dreams were buried with his body too. In the road, they started to process what was in their minds and what made their hearts heavy and worried. Let us go now and talk with a close friend. Maybe we can share the same thing with the other disciples. This spiritual transformation happened not only when Jesus opened their eyes and when, as we know the stories, as Jesus broke the bread and gave them the wine. Maybe that was the top of their eyes to be literally open. But many things was going on, and God was working on their faith, even when they couldn't see him 100%. The spiritual transformation started when they shared their thoughts with each other. And we have to agree on that there is some comfort where we can find somebody or a friend who share many things with us, or somebody we can really say our thoughts loudly without concern to be judged or me being in trouble. And I think the comfort God provided is by another disciples walking, complaining, blaming, whatever they're saying, negative talks, whatever, but they were comforting to each other. They were listening to each other. Most of the disciples and people who believed in Christ were going through this grief, hopelessness, confusion, and mixed messages. And I don't know what was the relationship between these two disciples. I don't know how close they were. I didn't know about their social status or their race or their background. But I know one thing. They trust each other to say what they couldn't say with other disciples. And again, it is good to find somebody or some place to relate to. But at the same time, we are not invited to stay there. We have to look around and see what we are called to see ourselves and to ask ourselves this question. What is preventing us from relating to others too? While God providing the comfort to relate to somebody we are comfortable with, on the other side, if we are the people of faith, we should challenge ourselves and ask, what's preventing us from relating to others? On the road, Jesus joined them, not as a master, not as somebody is higher than them, but as a stranger. And I imagine Jesus as a Middle Eastern walking on the other side of the road, walking slowly and trying to move closer to them. And to imagine this in an American context, just imagine you are hiking in a forest where the trail is very narrow. And the road is so narrow, and it's easy for people to hear each other's conversation. And even it's easy for people to get engaged and to move from being stranger to share one conversation with each other. What's unique about this conversation is that it was a sensitive and very personal. And we know all as American or somebody who lived here, we know how to keep this personal, very intense situation from being public or saying on a trail. But I think they were really struggle even not to be aware or worry about they could be in troubles. I don't know if it was their courage or maybe their frustration or maybe their assumption that everybody knows what we know. And maybe that's made them less worry or concerned about their future. Because maybe they thought even literally about their future. There is no future after Jesus. And we can see that when the stranger, Jesus Christ, is trying to push himself and come closer. And then he pushed himself farther by trying to say, "What are you talking about?" And the response from their side is a reminder of, you didn't know what was going on in the city? Which in a direct way is reminding him, you are a stranger. While Jesus put a lot of effort to come close and push himself into their circle. And here we can see another miracle when their confusions and the struggles became the connection. And the bridge for the strangers to listen carefully. Jesus as a stranger joined them with his unknown identity. And entered to their circle. And then stepped farther by asking them about what was going on. And their answer somehow was pushing him maybe, not literally, but emotionally, push him back. Or as I said, a reminder of him, you are really a stranger because you didn't have a clue about what's going on in the city. You didn't know our culture. You didn't know the main things that's happening in our life. But even with this challenge, he kept moving forward and farther, seeking a deeper relationship with these people. We can see Jesus not being captive by his identity as a stranger. So after he listened carefully, he started to teach them. We all love to teach, but it's hard to listen. We all love to go and just make people go straight and do everything and get A's in everything. But what about people who need somebody to listen to their grief and loss and to their feeling? He starts to teach them about things. And if you are wondering about Christ saying how foolish you are and thinking, Jesus, the gentle one, how he could say something like that? It depends on how you can read it. Maybe you can hear it in a very harsh voice. But some people said actually, in the Greek, these words could be used in a laughing manner. As how fool you are, in a way, it's not really judgmental, but more kind of like, I expect more than that from you. And also, as a Jewish teacher, these words reflect that you know your students very well, and that you have the right to judge them. And we can see Jesus patiently went through the Old Testament, teaching what has been revealed to them. Giving them a new direction, add a new chapter to their faith. If anybody told you these people weren't the people of faith, this is not true. They knew a lot. Maybe they didn't get the whole picture. They weren't there yet on the end of the road, but just go and read what they said about Jesus Christ. He was a prophet. He was a special man. He was a man of our dream and hope. He was the Redeemer of Israel. He was the new governor coming to control our land. And this was a lot. And this was part of their tradition and the way they understood the Old Testament. And we all do that. We have our own selective belief. We like to believe, we like to select what really only comforting us. But Jesus challenging them, say, and also, as was said, he has to be suffered and crucified. And as we see in the second scene, we can see Jesus as a stranger who became a guest. The same road that brings people together is the same road that divides people when they reach their destination. In the first scene, we see Jesus was the initiator, the pusher, the one who wants to come closer. He took many steps toward them. And in this scene, he took a big step by asking, they took a big step by asking him to stay and eat with them. And another miracle, because there are many, many miracles in this story. Another miracle in this story is that for the first time, they are not blind by their need and their situation. And now they are aware of the need of the strangers. It's too late. He is in the road. And this is the good side of being strangers. People can understand your struggle and your suffering. It is a miracle that happens every day when we see people of faith, when their eyes full of tears of their own life, but at the same time, they are capable to see other people's needs and reach out to them. In the last scene, we see Jesus, who was the stranger, who became the guest, and then they found out they were walking with an old and close friend all this time. While we are wondering or asking, complaining, or blind by our situation, where is God? Could God be closer to us more than what we can imagine or think? If you can't see God at this moment, that doesn't make you a non-believer, but makes you another true disciples. Amen.